Now we're getting levels. Okay. Let's turn to the Gospel of John 14. We've been reading through this Gospel and seeing the Lord Jesus as the great comforter. And here, as he's teaching the men, one of the ways he's going to comfort them and reveal the Father to them, he makes a statement in verse 7. He says, "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him." Ye know him. I just want to show you a few things about the facets of knowledge. When you hold a gemstone before you, it has various facets to it, various points that you can look at on the surface and underneath the surface. And the word know, K-N-O-W, I want to show you some various facets to that word and how it's used in the Bible. It doesn't always mean the same thing. This is why we study the Bible. Christianity today has become, you know, 1,000 feet wide and 1/2 inch deep. And there's very little depth to Christianity. And today we're going to plumb some of the depths of one word, the word know, and see how the Bible uses it in four different ways and plumb the depths of the word know and look at the facets of knowledge according to the scriptures. Now the word know is going to be used a number of different ways in the Bible. One of the easiest ways, I'll draw it on the board for you. One of the simplest and easiest ways you'll see it used is in historical fact type of a way. So way number one that you'll see the word know used is kind of as a fact, often historical. And I'll give you an example in the scriptures. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 24. Jesus is speaking to these men about knowing the Father. And this is going to be a special meaning of the word know that's going to transcend, go beyond what you're going to read here in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse number 2. "For the king," this is David, "said to Joab," this is the captain of his army, the captain of the host, which was with him, "he go now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba." Dan was the city in the north, Beersheba was the city in the south, so from north to south go through. "And number ye the people, that I may know," there it is, "the number of the people." So his job was just to go through and count. Collect this fact for me. I want to know how many people are inside the nation of Israel. How many men I can count on if we have to go to war. I want to take a poll of the people. Get a polling so that if we ever have to have a draft, I want to know how many men can serve. Go out there and know the number of the people. So here's the word know is used kind of as a fact of knowledge. A fact that I need to know. Now, it's good to know facts. It's good to know facts. There are a lot of people that know facts. When I went to medical school, they threw a lot of facts at us. When you go to elementary school or grammar school or even middle school or high school, they throw a lot of facts at you. Facts are good things to get a hold of. But just facts alone often don't give you an understanding. I found this out in medical school. You know, this bug, this bacteria has a cell wall, this one doesn't, this one has a certain nucleus, this one doesn't, this has RNA, this has DNA, and all these facts. But an understanding is the next level of knowledge that you want to get, and I'm going to show you plumbing a little bit deeper there. But right now I want you to understand facts. There's a lot of facts. This is a nation that has a lot of facts thrown at it. The newspaper is full of facts. Problem is there's not a lot of understanding as to what the facts mean. So here was an example of the word know, just in a factual sense. But I want to show you that you can go plumb a level deeper with the word know. Turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Your knowledge needs to go deeper than just some facts. Mark chapter 1. Verse 22, I love the verse. "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes." There's the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a real command of the facts, and he had a real authority when he spoke. Verse 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him and said, hold thy peace, come out of him. And the unclean spirit torn him and cried out with a voice, and he came out of him. Now, what's happening here is there's a man possessed with a devil, probably more than one devil, because it said them. And this often happens in possession. I mean, more than one devil will get in there. They invite their friends. They have a little party. But here's what he says. The devil, when the spokesman of the devils, when speaking to Jesus, says at the end of verse 24, I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now this is going to take you to a second level of the word know. It's going beyond just an historical fact. It's giving to you a kind of an understanding. For example, out in the world, I can have someone that knows by fact that Jesus was an historical person. There was a man named Jesus. He lived a long time ago. You can get this in an encyclopedia. If you go to the World Book Encyclopedia, the Americana Encyclopedia, the Encyclopedia Britannica, you can actually open up under J, Jesus, or if it's C, Christ, whatever, you'll find in there, in the dictionary I have at home, his name is mentioned in there as a person that lived a long time ago. An historical fact about him. This devil had more than an historical factual knowledge of Jesus Christ. This devil had an understanding. He had a religious understanding of Jesus Christ. I know who I know. You're the Holy One. I know who you are. He says, let us alone. Art thou come to destroy us? He has an understanding that this Jesus is someone powerful. This Jesus is on a mission, and someday part of his mission is going to be to destroy the devils. So he has a deeper level of knowledge about Jesus Christ. There's the word know in a little bit different way. Let me show you another passage. And turn to Titus, toward the back of your Bible. Titus chapter 1. Show you this manifest again in a slightly different form. Titus chapter 1. Again, thinking to the medical school example, I might know some facts about an illness like diabetes. Now, the fact is, if you have diabetes, your blood sugar is high. But now when I get an understanding about this, enough of an understanding to diagnose it in someone and know, okay, what are the things that can get that blood sugar high? Let's see, drinking a lot of pop, eating a lot of sweet things, an understanding of what's going to cause this. Now I'm getting a little bit more knowledge. Beyond just basic knowledge, I have a greater understanding. Now, the devils, they have an understanding, and turning it from physical things to spiritual things, the Lord Jesus Christ, they have an understanding, I know who thou art, you're the Holy One. You come to destroy us? They've got a greater understanding. Looking at it in a religious context, Titus is told this by the Apostle Paul. He says, verse 15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God. There's a profession they're making. We've got some religious understanding, we know God. But in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. They profess that they know God. How can they do that? They'll actually sit there and they'll talk to you as if they have an understanding about God and how he works and the things that he does and the way to get to please him and the way to go to heaven and what you need to do. Religious people will profess to know God. And they have some understanding, just like that devil did. That devil had an understanding. Okay, God, yeah, God, Jesus. He's God. He's the Holy One. Jesus, he's got a mission. His mission one day will be to destroy us. They have some understanding. I find this a lot in religions. I was listening last night to a television station, EWTN or ETWN, I don't know what it was, and some people are on there talking about knowing God. It's the Eternal Works Network or Eternal Network of Works or something. I don't know what it is. what is it?
Catholic.
It's a Catholic network. And they're on there talking about, and the guy's talking about knowing God and how you know God through all the traditions, and the traditions are so important, and you can't trust the scriptures alone, but you need to know the... And like the devil, in a religious sense, this guy knew a lot of stuff. He really did know a lot of things about the man Christ Jesus that came. He even knew that Jesus was the Son of God, like that devil did. He had a religious knowledge and an understanding about Jesus Christ. He not only knew that Jesus was an historical person, he knew that, Jesus was the Son of God and died on a cross. And died on a cross for sins. He had a lot of understanding, just like right here in Titus says. They profess they know God. The devil had a great profession of knowledge of God and had a lot of understanding about God. But that's not what Jesus was speaking about when he spoke to these men and said, ye know him. He's talking about the third level of the word know, plumbing down deeper and deeper to knowledge, a deeper knowledge of God. Here's what he's talking about. Turn before Titus to 2 Timothy chapter 1, right before Titus to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul was talking about some things he had been suffering for preaching the gospel. And in verse 12 he says, for the which cause, preaching the gospel, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. 2 Timothy 1:12. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now Paul knows what he committed to Jesus. He committed his soul. Peter talks about it in 1 Peter 4:19, committing the soul to Jesus Christ, the bishop of our souls. And Paul knows, I know whom I have believed. Now you're going to a deeper level. You're going beyond just the fact. You're going beyond just understanding. You're going to a wisdom that is beyond history and religion. It's to salvation. Committing your soul to Jesus Christ, knowing Jesus Christ personally. This is what Jesus is talking about. He said, ye know the Father. Ye know the Father. It's a personal knowledge. It's like when it says, let me think about it this way, in a marriage illustration. Looking at it from a marriage standpoint. You need the references up there because I can mark them. Does anybody have them? It was the 2 Samuel we started at, 24 and verse 2. And then we looked at the religious ones here in Mark chapter 1 and in Titus chapter 1. I think it was verse 16, was it? And Mark was verse 24. And now here we're seeing this knowledge of knowing the one you believe in a personal manner. 2 Timothy 1:12. And what in a marriage illustration would be like this. Let's say you're a young man, you're growing up, and you know that just from mommy and daddy and seeing uncles and aunts and seeing other people, you know that someday you're probably going to get married. And you know that you're going to marry a girl because God created the male and female and they're to be together. And so you know someday I need a girl. I have a knowledge of a fact that I need a girl someday in order to have a marriage. You're a young man and you know this. Time passes, you're in college, and one day you meet the girl that you want. It's no longer a girl anymore, it's that girl. That's Marlo Thomas. That's the one I want. It's that girl right there. And you see the one that you want. It's that girl. Now, at this point in time, the fact was I know I need a girl. Now I have an understanding I need that girl. That's the one I want. That's the one for me. But she's not yours yet. She's not yours. You have to go after her. You have to woo her. You have to court her. And if you do it right and you ask her right and she reciprocates and she says yes, then someday you plan to have a marriage. And then finally the day comes when you walk the aisle and they pronounce you man and wife. And then it's no longer a girl, that girl. It's my girl. It's my wife. Okay? This is the type of knowledge Jesus is referring to in knowing the Father. It goes beyond history, as we saw in a fact in 2 Samuel. It goes beyond a religious understanding like the devil had and those unbelievers had in Titus chapter 1, like most people in religion are today. Jesus is talking about the wisdom of salvation and knowing whom you believe. In a personal sense, you are now married to God through Christ Jesus. I know whom I have believed. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. To the right, a few books toward the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter 3. When this comes upon you, when this final step is taken, taking the step of faith, going to the altar with God, just like you go to the altar with your wife, and you finally make that step of faith and go to the altar as a sinner, and you move and you ask God to forgive you as a sinner coming to a Savior. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life. We know. There's a knowledge that breaks upon your soul in a personal knowledge that now you know that you are saved. You now have a knowledge of God personally, and you have salvation. And the Spirit bears witness with your spirit that ye are the sons of God, the children of God. We know, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And we know that he has manifested to take away our sins. A personal knowledge of salvation, that's in the same chapter, verses 1 through 3, 4, 5, right in there. That's the personal knowledge that God wants. That's the personal knowledge that Jesus was beginning to speak to these men about, but he was even going a level deeper than that. He's going even deeper than that, which is why he phrases it the way he does. Turn back to where you were in John 14. I want to show you. He's going to go even deeper than the third level. John 14, verse 7. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father. Watch it. And from henceforth ye know him. From henceforth. In a going from this point forward, ye know. Now, Jesus is going to talk about plumbing a deeper relationship with God than just the wisdom of salvation. Just the fact of taking that girl and making her my girl, my wife. He's talking about going even deeper. My wife. He's talking about going one level beyond. Let me show you scripturally. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Henceforth, you know him. The chapter is about prayer. And as he's talking about prayer, he brings this up in verse 3. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. He's writing to saved people. God our Savior, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. That's right here. Who will have all men to be saved. That's the third level right here. That's salvation. God's will is people will get beyond history, get beyond simple facts, get beyond religious understanding, and move to this point of a wisdom of salvation. Understanding is in the mind. Wisdom is in the heart. There's a lot of people that have an understanding. I, as a Catholic, had a lot of understanding about Jesus Christ. I believed in God the Father, the Creator Almighty, and His only begotten Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I had a lot of understanding, but I never went from understanding in my head to the wisdom of salvation in my heart until the gospel was so plainly and simply presented to me that it was casting all the shackles of religion off and coming to the altar on my knees asking Jesus Christ to be my Savior and not counting on anything. Not my confirmation, not my baptism, not my communion, not anything other than what Jesus Christ did at Calvary's cross. Jesus as the Savior, plus nothing, minus nothing. God is willing that all men will be saved. That's just the first part of the verse. That's just the first part of the verse. I have a little A above all, for all men, who will A, have all men to be saved. Then there's a conjunction, and B, come unto a knowledge of the truth. There's that word know in the midst of knowledge. This is the deeper knowledge that he's talking about. This deeper knowledge that Paul refers to, turn back to Philippians chapter 3. A deeper knowledge than just salvation. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and look at verse 10. Philippians 3:10, Paul says, that I may know him. What's the matter, Paul? You're not saved? You don't know Christ as your personal Savior? Of course he does. He's been walking a long time. By the time he wrote this epistle, it was toward the end of his ministry. He was in Rome. It was somewhere in the late 50s A.D. He'd been walking a long time with the Lord. He'd done missionary journeys all across Cilicia and Asia and Achaia and Macedonia, and now he's finally over here in Rome. It's the end of his ministry, and he says, oh, that I may know him. He wants to know him in a deeper communion sense. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto death. He's talking about a communion knowledge that is God is willing all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. A deep, intimate knowledge of the truth. Illustration again. I needed a girl. I saw her one day at college, that girl. I wooed her. She became my girl, my wife. But, is she my best friend? How many marriages have begun at the altar and they've never knit themselves together? They've never cleaved one to another and became best friends one with another. He's still got the buddies he hangs out with. She's got the girlfriend she hangs out with. She goes out with the girls once in a while. He goes out with the boys once in a while. He'd rather be out with the boys fishing than be with his wife. Now we're talking. Now communion is, I'd rather be with no one else. This is the knowledge that Christ is talking about with the Father, that Paul wants to have with God, that you should have with your spouse, and that you definitely want to have with God. This is plumbing the deepest facet of the depth of knowledge, is a knowledge of your God. Communion knowledge. Communion knowledge. The one I'd rather be with than anyone else. That's what Paul's talking about right here. I'll turn before Philippians to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. To go from a knowledge of saved unto a knowledge of the truth. I am the truth, Jesus said. To really know Jesus intimately. What happens when you know Jesus intimately? If you had known me, you would know the Father. From henceforth, you will know the Father. I'm going to draw you closer and closer to him in a deep communion knowledge. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the walk of a Christian after he leaves the altar at the day of salvation. That's what Jesus is talking about in plumbing the depths of God's knowledge and knowing the Father. And John got a hold of this when he wrote his epistle. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And watch how he does this. First John chapter 2, he says this. Verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. When you first come to Christ as a little child and you take him as your Savior and you enter the kingdom of God as a child, no man enters the kingdom of God except you come as a child. And you come as a child, you realize, what's God done for me as a child? He's done just like my mom and dad. He's paid all my bills. He's taken care of everything. Thy sins are forgiven. That's right here. That's the first thing to get the wisdom of salvation. I'm no longer going to Mass to be saved. I'm not being saved every week, getting saved every day. I have been saved once and for all by the finished work, the shed blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross, and I've taken in my Savior, and I'm a little child, and my sins are forgiven. Which ones? Past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. All of them. Mm-hmm. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. Amen. And as a little child, I come here and I get the wisdom of salvation. Religion's gone. This is the distance between. This is it. Here's the bloodline. And I've plunged into the blood. And I've been baptized into his death. And now I have the wisdom of salvation. And all up here, they're fooling around with history and religion. And here is salvation. But now he says, I want to go further. Watch this. Little children, you know your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Ye have known him that is from the beginning. Now watch it. Continue the verse. I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. See the word know two ways? The little child knows the Father here, that he saved me. Now, when he mentions a father, and you've grown in your Christian relationship, now he's talking about a communion knowledge. And this is from henceforth, Jesus says, ye shall know the Father. I want you to progress to communion knowledge. Beyond just salvation, sanctification. Beyond just faith, charity. Beyond just hope, charity and love in action. Communion. Charity. That's what he wants. That's the kind of knowledge that the Lord is seeking from his church. And today what I've found is so many, once they get this, they just stop at three. That's it. I know I'm saved. I'm saved and I can do what I want. And Paul says, oh, that I might know him. And the fellowship of his sufferings. To realize that he was despised and rejected of men. And if I follow him, the same will happen to me. I'll go through the sufferings just like Jesus Christ. Christianity is not going to win the world over to it. They're not going to come beating the doors down. If the people of the world come beating down the doors to your church, you're doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Because the church will not attract the world. The message is one of sinners needing a Savior. And if they're coming en masse to your church, you have to watch it. Because narrow is the way, straight is the gate, and few find it. And they're not going to come to us. Jesus sent us out to them. That's the church's job. And that's the communion relationship that he's talking about, that he's preparing these men for in the upper room in John 14. He's getting them ready. I'm going to my Father, and I'm going to send you a Spirit, a Comforter, a Holy Spirit that's going to allow you to do greater works and continue the work that I've done. And you're going to need communion knowledge to do it. You're going to have to know the Father. You're going to have to know and be a partaker of the fellowship of the suffering that God's heart went through as he wept while his Son was on the cross. And we're going to have to go forward carrying the banner of the cross. This is what Jesus is talking about in terms of that depth. Not just I'm married to Christ, but Christ is my best friend. And I want to spend my time with him. And I want to know his love. This is the knowledge that he's talking about. It's so far beyond religion. I feel sorry for these people in religion. I watch them. They're sincerely deceived. They haven't even gotten to salvation. And they're talking about a false communion. A false communion. Thinking that a little piece of bread can become Jesus. When Jesus is the way, and he came down from heaven to be the bread of life. And so, this is the knowledge. The facets of knowledge. The question I ask you is, do you know him? Do you know him? Have you at least taken the first step? Have you left your religion and taken the step of faith and come to Jesus as a personal Savior? And realize that not only is he, well, change the word to lamb instead of girl. Yes, you need a lamb to go to God. And then you need the Lamb of God. But is he your Lamb? Have you made him yours personally? Have you taken him personally as your Savior? Lamb that I've brought to the Father for my sins. Have you taken him personally? That's the first step. If you've done that and you're a Christian, then the question is, now, are you making him your best friend? Do you like to spend time with Jesus? We sing songs about Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. I'll follow Jesus. But are we? Do we spend time? And what Jesus says is from henceforth, he wants you to know him and know the Father. We're going to take communion up now. And as we do that, why don't we turn to Isaiah chapter 53. That I might know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Man, could you help us